And it's good to be here this morning, to be able to share the word of God with you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for life, and we thank you for your desires. We thank you, Father, for just the fact that you love us. And Lord, that we can stand before you and sit before you this morning, not as slaves, but as children of the Most High God. And Lord, this morning we lock out of our own emotions and the stuff that worries us and distracts us, Lord. And we thank you for your life. We thank you for the mind of Christ. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, that as the word is shared this morning, as we worshiped you, Lord, you're already moving, Lord, and you're already touching people. And thank you even this morning that you're going to heal and set people free, Lord, from bondages. Lord, I declare every prison door to open up, every oppressed person to go free today, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for the year of Jubilee in this place, the year of freedom, Lord, because of what Jesus has done on the cross. And Lord, this morning we boast in the cross. This morning we have got nothing else, Lord, in our own strength, in our own abilities, Lord, to bring, Lord, onto the table, except our words and our life, Lord, to respond to what you have done. We say it is finished, it has been completed, and we thank you, Lord, for that freedom of this massive river that's flowing, and this morning we can jump into that river. Lord, thank you, Lord, that we don't need to psych up the river or do anything, Lord, but there's life wherever you are, and we thank you this morning, our Father, that your kingdom is coming and that your name is glorified in this place. Lord, we are here with an expectation to meet with you. Because, Lord, you have been here all the time waiting for us. Lord, thank you that you're proud of us and that you love us and that you want to release your desires over us today. In Jesus' name. And everybody says, amen. I love it. Mr. Moskov's Let's Go promotion. Thank you very much. We can see all the Italian and the Russian blood coming through there. Eh? It's just amazing when, and I want to just commend him and so many older people and families that are starting to go on missions and really just set time out for God. And this December, we're sending lots of mission teams, and next year, April. And we really want to encourage you, especially if you've got your family, we're going to start planning much more for families with kids to go on missions. And it's really an opportunity to see God's fullness come. And I don't know if some of you have been watching the Olympics, but one of the highlights for me at the Olympics was an interview that the BBC had with one of our swimmers with their dad. How many of you saw that interview? Okay, some of you. I'll post it on my Facebook so you can see it there. We couldn't download the whole one today, but we're going to show you a little clip of this dad. Now, this dad, I don't know who he is. I don't know if he's a Christian or whatever, but that's where we're going to start, because I'm going to speak a little bit about quite a tense topic this morning, but this is the end of this. So I'm giving you sort of the ice cream for the end and the pudding for the end, and then we're going to start about that. I don't know if you've got that clip ready, but this is just after Chad Leclos. Nobody knows how Leclos, whatever, how you pronounce that name, but how his dad reacted on BBC, because they interviewed him on his child's just winning the gold just in front of Michael Phelps. That's also a swimmer. Swimmer, people, is what you do when you jump into the little pool and you swim. Some of us can't do that. Some of us just do the winky, the doggy swim. But, you know, at least one point to another. Okay, so let's watch that little clip.
His achievements of last night. We've looked ahead to the two British swimmers in the final tonight who have real medal prospects. But what about the emotional story of last night? It actually wasn't Phelps winning, it was Phelps getting beaten by this guy, Chad Leclos. And afterwards, Mark Foster managed to grab his dad Bert to come and have a chat with me. Tell us a bit about Chad and when he committed his life to swimming and how he's got this good.
He's unbelievable. He's committed like you cannot believe. He's the most down-to-earth, beautiful boy you ever meet in your life. He lacks all the... Look at him, he's crying at me. I love you. Oh my God, I see myself, I look at him.
This is not, yes. No, you're fine. And his mum is here as well. How many more family members, how many friends have you got?
My other son is here, a small one.
Yeah.
And he's somewhere up there, I can't find him. We have to get tickets all over the place, you know. It's not easy to get tickets.
I know, we're aware, but listen, you were here at the most perfect moment of your son's life, and it sounds like the most perfect moment of yours.
Oh, unbelievable, unbelievable. Thanks, Great Britain.
I just love that moment. It's another one.
It's part of the interview, but he goes on and he says, "That's my child. That's my child." And then he goes on and he goes, "Mwah," you know, and he says that. And he says, "Oh, we lie," you know, like he go. The moment is just so overwhelming for him because of the dad's heart towards this child. It's almost like he won it, you know. He would just be able with that big life of his to float. But in any case, you know, we're going to talk a little bit about that. That's where we're going today. Okay, so just giving you some ice cream. And I want to take us to a scripture here in Psalm 86, verse 1. You know, one of the biggest challenges for us, especially in the charismatic church, is to overcome our feelings and emotions when we serve God. There are so many people that come to God based on emotions. So we're going to worship God. We're going to do stuff with God and for God when we feel like it. And unfortunately, Scripture says very clear on it that God does not want us to respond by feelings or emotions, but firstly by faith and conviction. There's nothing wrong with having feelings or emotions. That's great, but that is happiness. And there's something more. God talks about a joy that he wants to unlock in our lives. And that's why when David comes, probably the guy who had the greatest kingdom ever that this earth has seen, David comes and he prays a specific prayer. And we're going to pray that prayer a couple of times this morning. He says in Psalm 86, verse 1, he says, "Teach me your way, O Lord. I will walk in your truth. Unite my heart to fear your name." Will you pray this after me? Lord, unite my heart to fear your name. Let's pray it again. Lord, unite my heart to fear your name. You see, so many of us want to do the will of God. How many of you want to do God's will? Great. But have you ever gone to a place and you end up being at a place, but you're almost like either late or you're at the wrong place and you had an expectation and then you realize, oh, my khuna. It's like one morning there was a mission team leaving. And so it was like 4 o'clock in the morning and I wanted to go and say goodbye to them. And so here we go. Drive down. I get down to Oudtshoorn. I sit there and I think, where on earth, you know? And then I realized my watch was an hour early. So the mission team was not there because I was at the right place at the wrong time. The other day when we flew back from Singapore, you know, we were standing there at the desk and so I came and I put the passport down for the lady and I said to her, "Look, yeah, we're going home." And then the lady took the passport, she looked in the passport and she looked on the system and there was nothing. She said, "No, you're not on this flight." Then I gave her another team member's passport and she said, "No, he's not on the flight either." And so after 8 people going through all the passports, I said to her, "Lady, I don't know about you, but I am on this plane back home. I've got a family back home, and I am going to be at home. I don't know if I sit next to the pilot, I don't care, or down in the, you know, luggage bin, wherever, I will be going home tonight. I'm booked on this flight." And then she calls all the people. I say, "Please." Now I'm trying. I'm thinking all the time, you're a Christian. Love people. Okay, so just be nice. So she calls the manager. They look, they like, you know. And so then in the end, she brings the itinerary again. And she says, "Mr. LaRue, do you know what? Today is the 21st. Your itinerary clearly says that you're only flying the 22nd. You know, I'm so glad I didn't make a big scene. But yeah, so now I go back to all the people on the team. I say to them, "I've got good news. We're staying another day in Singapore." So we were all almost like these dogs that, or these cats that have been thrown in the water. Now we have to go back. And so it was amazing to see God's plan come together. But simply, many people, they want to do the will of God, but they're sort of almost not at the right place. They're not there when God does something, because God is always at work. But specifically when David prays, he says, "Lord, unite my heart to fear your name." So he almost says, "Lord, there's lots of things going on in my heart." In our modern day terms, we will call it distractions. He says, "I am so distracted with things around me. There's so many things happening. There's so much stuff. And I don't have time for anything. Lord, give me a single heart focus." Because most Christians, if you talk to them, they say, "Yo, I'm so busy." How many of you think you've got a very busy life? Come on, be honest.
Most of us, it feels like, whoa, we're running around doing so many stuff. And so David starts with this. He says, look here, Lord, I understand that I need something, because if my heart, or if these distractions in this world and in my emotions, if all those things, Lord, can just be put aside a little bit so that my heart can focus on you, so that I can have a passion for the things that are on your heart. Lord, I want to live a life that will be able to say, I fear you, I understand your ways, I'll follow you with all of my heart. That means that we have to start with living a disciplined life. And now, many of you, when I start to think of this, you're going to think of negative stuff. But remember the little movie clip, we're going to go somewhere today. Okay, 1 Timothy 4 verse 7, it says, but have nothing to do with worldly fables fit only for old women. On the other hand, discipline or exercise, train yourself for the purpose of godliness. So Paul writes to Timothy. Timothy is a young guy, and he says to him, look here, I want you to exercise yourself. I want you to train yourself for godliness, because there are going to be lots of things that's going to come your way, lots of things that are going to be good works, but it's not necessarily God works. It's not that God has called you to do it. And so what happens, especially in one of the things I felt this morning as I was praying for us, is simply that there are many of us distracted by our own weaknesses, by our own shortcomings, and the devil accuses you night and day about how bad you are, that you can never be used by God, and that thing, that lie is going to stop today, because we're going to pray that God will break that over your life. Because you can get so distracted by, even when you come into worship, and I want you to think of how you worship the Lord this morning. You stand there, and then you think like, oh, I'm not less for worship. Then your emotions come up, your mind is all over the place. They sing some songs, and then suddenly you're on the fourth song. You're sort of like, oh, I must probably focus. We're worshiping God now, and then, oops, you know, there we go. Then it's over. It's like not living in the moment. Because worship isn't really the songs that we sing, it's a lifestyle that we live. And Paul knew this. He said, look here, I want to train myself. Everything I do, and not just for a reward in this life, but we're going to be doing lots of stuff in heaven. Did you know that? We're going to rule and we're going to reign with God for a long time, and there's going to be lots of productivity in heaven. God is not a lazy God. Did you know that? Okay, say amen there. That's a good place to say amen. Okay. Paul also says in 1 Corinthians that, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself may become disqualified. He says, even my own body, everything I do, I live a disciplined life. I live a life because I want to please God. And we're going to talk about that a little bit later in 1 Corinthians. Then in Ephesians 5, we read another scripture. It says, see then that you walk circumspectly, look carefully, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. You know, I was looking at some mission pictures and some stuff that, you know, years ago when we started. And I looked at all the pictures and I was actually very saddened when I saw, okay, this guy is not serving God anymore, and that guy, lady, is not serving God anymore. They got distracted, either a boyfriend or this or a work or whatever, but they've not finished the race. I think all of us have got stories of people that started with a great passion, but they couldn't finish. And with us as Christians, it's not how you start, it's how you finish the race. How many of you want to finish the race? Yeah, all of us. Any hands not going up, then we want to pray for you afterwards. Because then there's something. We all want to finish strong. We all want to win that gold medal. We all want to stand there where God is going to say, well done, my good and faithful servant. And this morning, I don't want us to think in terms of our own effort. Because normally, especially in the Afrikaans culture, when we talk about discipline, we think about legalistic stuff. But firstly, it starts with something, an urgency in our hearts, to do the will of God and to please God. I don't know about you, but I want to please God. I don't want to please man. I don't want to please myself. I want to please God. I want God to be like that Chad's dad that can sit up there, you know, and say, that's my boy. You know, he's the best. And then he realizes he loses the moment for a moment, and then he sort of thinks, oh, are we live? Are we live? And he tries to pull himself together because he's just like, out of his skin. You know, he wants to jump out of his skin because of excitement. You know, I read in the newspaper that the next day, the whole family, they didn't sleep the whole night because they were just so excited, you know, about the son that has won a gold medal, you know. And And it's such a beautiful picture of how God feels about us and what God wants to release over our lives. And can somebody say amen there? But there comes an urgency, especially here in Ephesians. It says that there are so many deceptions, so many stuff, you know. And I want to say this to some of us as well, because you run around, you want to read all the DVDs, and then your friend says, oh, I just listen to all the DVDs. Your friend says, oh, I just read this Christian book. It's amazing. And then you grab the book and you read the book because you think like, wow, this book is actually going to change something in my life. Well, that may not be your season, what God wants to do in your life. That's why each one of you, you need to spend time with God. I need to spend time with God to know what is God saying to me as an individual now? And what is God saying to us as a church? And don't run around to that church over there and that thing over there. And because otherwise you're not going to be focused on what God is doing, so that you can walk through the season and say, yes, God. Because God takes us from glory to glory and from strength to strength. God is not going to take you from nowhere and then suddenly make you change the world. Hello? Did you know most people that did a great work for God, whether it was Moses, whether it was Paul, all of them, you know, since Damascus, the road of Damascus, and David himself, since Damascus and going up to Jerusalem where he started to preach was 14 years that we don't read anything of. David took 14 years since he was anointed by Samuel until he became king. So it's so important that you and I begin to lock into that and realize that we're living in a scary world and so many distractions are going to come your way, and you need to say, God, unite my heart so that I can fear your name, so that I can please you, so I can walk in your ways. Okay, I know it's getting very quiet here. So let's get on to another scripture, 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1. Therefore, having these promises, again, they are promises. They are promises of a reward. God says, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God. Talks about a holiness, and holiness isn't, I always thought, take the water and sprinkle the water, you know, and then, you know, then we're holy, you know, sprinkle, be like quiet and reserved. But I love what Reinhard Bonnke says. He says, dignity is not a fruit of the spirit. Okay, we cannot sit around and say, oh, you know, I just jumped up and shouted for the stormers or the whatever. No, we didn't shout for the stormers. Not for the sharks either. We shouted Cameron for Chad. We shouted for Chad. We shouted Chad. Chad is the new hero of South Africa, okay? We shouted for Chad, and then we come to church and we say, oh, be reserved. Yeah? Holiness just simply means a lifestyle of consecration, a dedication to do the will of God. And here he says, simply, he says that God is not looking for perfection and he's not looking for legalism. When I'm talking about a disciplined life this morning, we're not talking about legalism. We're not talking about a set of rules. Because most of us will think in terms of, oh, if I talk about a disciplined life, you'll think, oh, get out my diary and start to plan everything, like every minute. And if I miss a minute, you know, because that's unfortunately something that's very bad in our culture. We try to organize, manipulate, and control. But a disciplined life is just simply a consecrated life. It's a life to walk away from the feelings of the flesh, to walk away from the distractions, and just say, God, I want to please you. God, I want to serve you. God, I want to perfect my holiness in the fear of God. Lord, therefore, I'm going to deny those things. I'm going to step away from certain things. Because when you live a disciplined life, it's not so much about saying yes to stuff. It's about the stuff that you say no to. Because there's going to become lots of stuff in your way that you need to say no to. I was talking at the Amplified here with all the youth, and there were like 300 youth here at Paul Roos and Bloemhof. And I was just amazed. I asked all the kids, how many of you have watched a lot of series? Series are these like series stuff, like video movie stuff. And then 99% of them raised their hands. When you ask young people today, what do you spend your time with? They will say in front of the television all the time. Yeah, and then I think, and I hear people say, well, ooh, you know, I spent 20 hours on watching television this week, but the 2-hour service, ooh, that is so long. Ooh, you know, I just wanted to get to the chicken. I wanted to, you know, And then I think, how can we expect God to move if we don't live consecrated lives, if we're not there where God moves? Some people come to church like once every 4 weeks and they think they're doing God a favor. And I'm thinking, are you just rather stay at home because you're fooling yourself if you think you're doing God a favor, because you're going to miss half of the stuff that God is dealing with the church with if you come once every 4 weeks. You're still welcome, but you know what? You're going to just miss out so much. You're going to miss on the fullness of God. Because God moves, God, and then we're not there. Hello, it's getting very quiet here. But I want to talk to us because it is so important, people, in these days that we live a consecrated life. We start to consecrate ourselves. We say what are the things important to us and what are the things that we must say no to. I've got 3 children and there are many stuff, you know. My children are in a school where there are lots of prosperous people, and then the children will somehow walk in there and say, well, I demand this. And I say, no, you don't demand that. What gives you the right to demand that? But even discipline in our homes is like, whoa, you know, don't tolerate the kids. Yeah, I was there in China, 4 years ago, and it was amazing. You know, the kids, they've got one kid, but the parents worship the children. And so there was a little kid on the train slapping the mom through the face. I almost got a fit. That's the best word I can think of. I almost got, my electricity almost tripped right there, you know. Because this little kid, 4 years old, slaps the mom through the face. Because the mom doesn't do what the kid. And I'm thinking, whoa, my chuna, we're raising a generation that is not going to be able to follow God. Because if God says something, what are they going to do? You know, throw a tantrum. Hello. Okay, let's move right along. Okay, turn to somebody next to you and say, whoa, you're still looking fresh today. Okay, we're going to pick up a little bit of speed. In 2 Corinthians 7 verse 1 gives us sort of the definition of faith. We always think of verse 1 as the definition of faith, but this is actually the definition of faith. It says, therefore, having these promises, no, that's the wrong one. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The next one, next slide. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. When you come to God, you must first believe that what God says in Scripture, that is the truth. He said it, finished, that's it. He's a good God. Scripture says it's the goodness of God that leads us to repentance, that makes us change. Because of God's goodness. So when you come to God, firstly, you must believe that he is God. And then secondly, with that, you must believe that he will reward you when you diligently and through a disciplined life seek him. So who's he going to open the door for? Those who seek, knock, ask. Hello. So very simply, without faith, it is impossible. So when we come to God, there's something we must believe. We don't say, oh, God, you're going to do a lot of things. We just believe that he's true, that he loves us. When he says he loves us, that's it. That's finished. So God, thank you that you are a good God. Thank you that you love us. Thank you, Father, that I can come freely to you and worship you. But thank you, Lord, that when I seek you, you're going to reward me. There's a reward for those who sometimes seek God. No. There's a reward for those who maybe sometimes think they do God a favor by coming to church on Christmas and New Year. No, not New Year. We don't go to church on New Year. We go to church on Pasfius. Huh? Easter. Whoa, that's when everybody, oh, after 9/11, then everybody's in the church again. Everybody believes in God suddenly. But it's amazing. Scripture says, I want to reward you, God says. I want to give you life. And that reward starts with his presence. That reward starts with those who diligently seek him. Okay, so let's go on. In 2 Timothy 2, verse 4 to 7, no one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life. When you entangle yourself, it's like you walk into a place. I don't know if you've ever, what is a cryness in English? Huh? A bird nest, huh? A crow's nest. Oh, okay, that's very easy. I thought it was like one of these difficult English names. Okay, but so this crow's nest, okay? So I don't know if you've ever been there, and I remember catching a fish on the farm when I grew up, and I threw a crow's nest, yeah? And I felt the fish is there, and I was just thinking, oh, my God, now I can't get this thing in. So I started running up the hill, yeah? And then I pulled out that fish on the shore. It was one of those amazing, well, it was one of those fishes. I can show you the picture, okay? Okay, it was this size. This size, okay? But it was just one of the most amazing moments, you know, when I caught that fish. But when you have that thing, and now you have to entangle that thing, you have to sort of loose it. It's a massive problem, yeah? It's like this little fly that's caught in the spider's web, and it goes like all the time, you know? And it goes like, and you think, ooh, you know, breakfast for the spider, okay? But when you're entangled in something, something has caught you. You're under the grip, or you're in the grip of something. And so, yeah, he writes and he says, simply, Paul again, he says, you don't entangle yourself with the affairs of this life that you may please him who enlisted you as a soldier. And also, if you compete in athletics, he's not crowned unless he competes according to the rules. The hardworking farmer must be first to partake of the crops. Consider what I say, and may the Lord give you understanding in all these things. So Paul writes to Timothy and he says, look here, Timothy, you need to understand. God is like wants you to be like a farmer. He wants you to be like a soldier. He wants you to be like an athlete. And he wants you to partake of certain things. He wants you to be able to lock into a way of living. But if you think of a farmer, farmer knows the seasons. A farmer takes that seed and he doesn't go in summer and throw the seed just, you know, in December here in the Western Cape, throws all the seed and thinks, oh, I wish something is going to happen. He needs to understand the seasons. He's very disciplined to understand exactly. He waits exactly when the rain falls, first rains, then the seed goes in the ground. And then he waits for a whole season. And when it comes up, grows, he has to look at the wheat. He has to really focus on getting all the bugs and the insects and all the rust and the stuff on the wheat out. And then when it comes time for harvesting, oh my chuna, then everybody is ready. Everybody is going. Now that's where I learned faith, was on my dad's farm, because in Novembers and Decembers, I would go home and I would drive a truck. And it's amazing. It was a 12-ton truck. When I put the truck on the scale in Verliersdorp, when I stopped there, there was always over 24 tons, you know. So my dad just overloaded that thing, and there were these big hills. And then I would go like this up with that truck, and then I would start to pray in the spirit. I said, Lord, let the angels push this thing over the hill. Yeah, it was like, yeah. But one thing that I understood is there's an urgency to get this wheat into the silo, because if there's rain that comes and it falls on the wheat, it's gonna just get the grades down of the wheat. So there's an urgency with things that you do. The soldier, if you're in a war situation, the soldier sleeps with his boots on. He's always ready to fight. The soldier, when you're on duty, you are there, you're awake, you are focused. He's not distracted. The athlete, is it Arne wat daar sit? Arne, staan ge op. He just... Did you pull a hamstring, or what happened in the World Athletics? He strained his hamstring, and then did they pray for you? What happened? But then he beat the world record. Let's give him an applause. God is good. Arne, you must come and share your testimony a little later. So he just, you know. But if you talk to him, you would say, whoa, it's very hard work to be up there. You can't say to an athlete, oh, just get onto the field and let's just try to do something. And then, and that's what many Christians do. We just like, so now we expect this amazing miracle. But an athlete trains himself. An athlete gets into that place. So what are the rewards of discipline, of living this life? First, a soldier, it says there, it pleases, you please the one who has enrolled you. So God talks about a soldier that has got a calling on his life, a place to do the will of God. You please the Father. That is one of the greatest rewards that we can have in this life, is the fact that we please God. That God comes and he says, look here, you're my boy, you're my girl, I'm so proud of you. He did that with Jesus before Jesus did anything significant. Did you know that?
But so when we start to live this life, and maybe some of us, we're very far, we've been serving God for many years, but some of us are just starting out. God wants to say he's pleased with you. And it starts with an open heart. It starts just with that place of worship, that place of thanksgiving, like Fred prayed, preached last week. Then the athlete, it says crown. You are crowned when you're an athlete. It's like that gold medal, stand there, whoa, you know, I've finished the race, I've won the race. And then everybody, that's when Chad started to cry and his dad said, oh, look at him, that's my boy, he's beautiful. Look at him, you know, he said it a couple of times, he said it over and over, look at that boy, you know. But when you're crowned with something, when you have a reward, you can stand there and you can brag a little bit, okay? You can stand in front of the crowds and say, this is not me, this is God. But all I want to say, it's good for me to stand here because I represent the King. I know him. He's my life. He's the one who gives life to me. And I've got the freedom to worship him. Let's check me, you know? And when somebody has won the 100 meters in the Olympics or wherever, when somebody's finished that race, you know, people don't care what they do, but I don't know about the soccer players, but they are, you know, the soccer players. I still don't. They're a bit of drama queens. I don't know. There's too much, you know, because they like, you know, they worship. Have you seen them? The people, when they win something, most of them go like, whoosh. Yeah? It's like worship. They just don't know that, you know, but someone just worship themselves. But it's amazing when people win that stuff or they finish and then they jump up and they go wild. They go berserk. Just that moment, that joy of being able to finish and to partake of that authority, that place of winning with God. Okay? God wants us to win because Jesus has already finished the race. And that means ruling and reigning with him. The farmer, part of the scripture says, the farmer is the first one to partake of the crops. It's not like in South Africa when you have like sheep, you have to like pay taxes on your sheep if it's your own sheep. So I don't know how that works. But in any case, it's supposed to be biblical in the sense that, you know, you can eat that. You look and there's 100 sheep and you choose the fatted calf, the fatted lamb. Okay, and you make biltong of that kudu and you hang it up there and you just say, the best. Yeah? Because the farmer is the first to partake. So it's like God gives us a meal and he comes and he says, look here, well done. We're going to have a massive party. Because you've lived that disciplined life, because you lived a focused life, what I'm going to do is you can eat first. You choose first. You choose what nation you want to rule over. I want to rule over the Japanese and the Chinese one day. And just, you know, because we're going to rule with Jesus for a while before the new heaven and the new earth comes. And it's just going to be great, you know. It's just going to be so. Yeah. Just think of that. Even who do you want to rule over? I already chose the Japanese. No. Okay. He's just been to Japan. So, but very simple. It's that ability to rule, that ability to partake of God's goodness, of who he is. And, you know, especially in our Afrikaans culture, what we think is, oh, you know, God is like this spoil sport. God is like this bad God and God doesn't reward. But God says, if you live this life, what's going to happen? You're going to have the ability to sit with me, to overcome with me. That is the greatest thing that every one of us, and especially the men, we have got a competitive spirit, some ladies as well, but you're most men, you know. You just check them out, and I don't know if you've ever been, you and your brother, you know, you start to just like box a little bit, and then it's like this friendly boxing match, and then it's like, you know, it's like all over the, I don't know if you were like that, but I was like that, you know, there's that line that you cross that this competition comes out, you know. And you know what? That's not a bad thing, you know, when it's godly, when it becomes a passion for God, when it becomes a place where we say, God, I'm not in competition with other people. I'm not in competition with myself. Simply, I want to please you. Lord, I want that reward. I want to stand with you. I want to live a disciplined life and say yes to that. The other day, Josh, we bought one of these big slab chocolates to give to somebody as a present. And when I got in the kitchen, the thought came up that I must just go and check. And then I realized the slab chocolate is gone. And Josh has been quiet for a couple of minutes. So I realized slab chocolate gone, quiet, still nothing, don't hear him, equal to trouble. Okay. Now I walk into the room, into the bedroom, and as I stand there, I hear this I'll realize, oh, okay. So I look, I go and look under the bed, and here he is. Finished the whole slab. One go. You know? So I say, Josh, come out. What are you doing? So he leaves the paper under the bed. He comes out and he stands there. Innocence all over him. I say, have you seen the slab chocolate that we bought for friends? No. I say, it's gone. Oh, he says, is it gone? Is it weg? I say, open your mouth. What's in your mouth? And then he opens his mouth. I say, breathe. I say, it smells like chocolate. He says, no, you're deceived. I says, what's dripping down the side of your mouth? Because the chocolate was really dripping out here, and there was some here on his forehead as well. Yeah? So he really dug into this chocolate. Yeah? And I just love that picture, you know, that picture of like, wow. You know, just kids go flat out 100% because, you know, they will grab their own rewards sometimes, okay? When we're not supposed to, like, eat too much and all that stuff, we all know that. And I don't want to go into the legalistic things this morning, but simply, God promises us certain things. And he says, look here, I want you to have a life of abundance. But in this world that you live, be focused. Unite your heart. A disciple, the basic definition of a disciple, and we're going to end with that, and then we're going to start praying for people, okay? A disciple, the basic word of disciple means a disciplined follower of Christ. Somebody that lives a disciplined life in following Christ. It's very important that when Jesus calls his disciples, he says, come and follow me, and I will make you good churchgoers. Come and follow me, and I will make you the most amazing worshipers. I will make you the most amazing Christian with beautiful fruit. He says, no. Come and follow me, and I will make you. You don't make yourself. I will make you fishers of men. So God's making in your life is not towards perfection. It is always towards reaching the world. I'm going to say that very slowly. God's making, what God does in you, is for you to become Christ-like so that you can, and he can reach the world through you. It's not for you to be perfect so that you can be a better worshiper. It's not for you to be legalistic with a set of rules to say, oh, I must try harder to be a good Christian. If you're connected into the vine, the branches will bear fruit because what comes from the vine just flows through. It's about a connection with the vine. So simply what many people, you know, and we see this with great preachers and all these people, but people don't tell people, what is your prayer life like? Do you read the word? Do you worship? Do you witness? Do you fast? Are you accountable? These are the basic things that Christians do. If you don't do them, then there's a problem. You're not connected to the vine. Oh, that's very hard. Because you're getting very legalistic this morning. No, no. Simply, do you have a prayer life? If not, there's a problem. You're not connected. If you don't pray. Reading the word, it means that you've stopped. If you stopped reading the word, it means you're not hungry for the word anymore. It means you've filled yourself with something else. Hello. That's God's way. He says, if you want to follow me, you have to choose between that fish sometimes and all the other people are going to say, and just follow me. Just let go. Shake somebody next to you and say, we're almost finished. We're going to the last slide now. So simply a disciple means that we have a relationship with God. Jesus is the center of our lives. We want to please him.
We want to know him. Everything we do, the reason why we come to church is not because we want to sing nice songs, but simply because we want to connect with God and we want to connect with other people that are pursuing God, that are desiring God. They're walking into that place of saying, God, when I get this chocolate, I want to eat everything. I want to just finish it, you know, because God, there's something about partaking of this reward, which is your presence. It's about knowing you. It's about the cross. It's about the fullness of life. Jesus has finished it. But God, I don't want to stop halfway. I don't want to finish three quarters of the way. I want to finish the race. And God, it's your grace that does it, but I need to be not distracted. Because God wants to stir a passion in our hearts for that. And that means that you live a life of obedience. Hello. A life of being able to say to God, God, when you say it, I don't care. I'm going to just jump up. I'm going to do it. Yesterday, we were at one of the conferences, Reinhard Bunker's conference here in the Cape. And the guy spoke about the fact that Philip was sitting, and then suddenly God said to him, an angel said to him, go into the wilderness and run. And then he had to pick up everything, leave everything, and just run. You know? And I'm thinking sometimes, God, if you say to me now, stop preaching now and run out to the Nilsi, then I think, well, that's a weird thing to say. No, no. No, God, my feelings are in the way. This is not a good, you know. And how many times does God speak to us, but because we're not in the moment, we're not living in the Kairos moment, we're distracted. And we're going to pray that prayer again. Because obedience and following God, pleasing Him, leads to a Christ-likeness. And that's your purpose, is to become like Jesus. I always say this to people, that the greatest compliment that somebody can ever give you is if they say, you remind me of Jesus. You look just like Jesus. You look, I remember I told it before, but we were at this trans party, and this guy came this Sunday morning. He was walking up and down past our stall all the time. And then he came, and he came in later. He got the guts to come in, and he said to us, do you know what? You remind me of somebody that I read about many years ago, because somebody gave me one of these black books called the Bible. And I read there about a man called Jesus. And as I was walking past, and as I was looking at your conduct and what you were doing, you reminded me of that guy, Jesus. Do you know him? And I think, hallelujah, Lord. We can go home now. That's the best compliment ever. Not, have you got a great ministry? Just simply, do you remind people of Jesus? Are you so attractive in your life that people come to you and they say, whoa, what you have, I want the same. What you have, I want the same. What you have, it's just so attractive. It's just so different than what the world has. But unfortunately, the world has crept into the church. The worldliness and the things of the flesh and the desires, and then we become consumers. I know it's a bit of a hard message, but it's just, if we want to follow God, people, we need to say, God, unite my heart. Because I want to be in the right place. I want to be that Chad Lacrosse that when just in that last moment, you touch that finish line. And then you overwhelm the whole world. Because God wants us to conquer. God wants you to overcome. God wants you because He wants to be, He is, and He wants to just say to the whole world, that's my boy. I don't care if I'm live or not live. I just want to tell all the world, like He did with Jesus, I love you and I'm proud of you. Will you stand with me this morning? So we're going to pray for people. And I want to say this again. It's not about legalism. It's not about doing things for God or doing more stuff. It's just about a focus in our hearts. And do you know where Scripture starts? Scripture starts and he writes, especially in the book of Revelations, it's very sad when you go to Turkey and all these places today and you see the seven churches that has been there, you see all this stuff, and then you realize, wow, so much has been lost to the church. I loved when we were in Singapore and we chatted to the pastors there, and they were all praying about buying up property in Wales and in Scotland as the church is there, to go back to the roots of the Pentecostal movement, to what John Evans and all these people did. Just amazing stuff, part of our legacy. And I said, look here, we want to go back. We want to say to God, God, we want to preserve. We don't just want to be fly-by-nights. We don't just want to say, well, one day we're here. And unfortunately, we must say this to each other, that in the charismatic world, every 3 months a new church jumps up. They've heard from God and all that stuff. No order. And Matthew 7 says simply that there's a spirit of lawlessness in the world, where everyone has a right, they take a right unto themselves. And you hear it today. So many people outside the church say, oh, I've got a relationship with Jesus, but there's no order, there's no discipline, and especially no accountability. Nobody can walk into their life and say, oh, you know, let's talk a little bit about this and this in your life. That drinking stuff that you've been doing. Let's talk about that. Not to condemn you, but we want you to have the reward of God. My heart for each one of you this morning is very simply, I want you to run through that finish line. Not crawl through the finish line and say, oh, I've made it finally. Say, this is the line. Oh, and then you grab Moses' beard. Oh, oh, oh. Thank you, Jesus. Finally made it. Oh, the world has been such a bad place. Oh, help me, Jesus. Save me. I'm here. Oh, Moses, your beard is quite long. Elijah, you're standing in the way. I can't see. Oh, but I've made it. Thank the Lord of the heavens and the earth. The Lord speaketh unto me as to dieth, and it's greatest to heareth, that I'm finally heareth. Hallelujah. You know, that was always my picture, just make it into heaven. No, no, no. God wants us to overcome. He wants you to taste of His goodness. He wants you to stand up. You know, when we're on this mission and we're going into Vietnam and all these places and we're going there and we see all the wickedness and all in Cambodia, all the people that, all the children that are sold for the sex trade, and you come to the place and you realize, oh, whoa, you know, I don't actually have a clue. God, what can I bring? And then God says, you can bring nothing. But the fact that you are here, the fact that you're bringing a sacrifice and that you're not running away and just focusing on your own stuff all the time, but you're actually bringing me something, something that is of worth. That's what David said, God, I'm not going to bring you something that doesn't cost me. Because I realized I must say no. Some of you have had to say no to the spirit of duvet this morning. Well done. That's at least a good start, okay? So do you know how when you come to church every Sunday morning, do you know how pleased God is that you're just here? That you have come, that you've taken the time, you've put on some nice clothes, you've said no to the rain, you've said no to the children that screams at the back of the car, you know, almost lost your salvation in the process, you know. It's always the most amazing how the demons manifest when you come to church, you know. Then everything goes wrong, nothing wants you, but then you say no to that and you come to church, you know. And you say, you behave because I'm a Christian and you're a Christian. Okay, yeah. But it's just amazing, you know. So even, I want to say this, even when you just come here because God is here, do you know how pleased God is? God says, I'm going to reward you with my presence. Just come with thanksgiving. Come with this place of having an expectation of the reward. But it's going to cost you something. You're going to need to say no to certain things. You're going to need to say no to certain opinions of people and what people think of you and what they say and all that stuff. Because you present yourself as a reward to God. Say, God, I want to be your reward once I've tasted of you, you being my reward. God sees your name is written on the palm of His hands. Whoa. Whatever you do, if your name is written on the palm of His hands, it means He's always looking. You're always close by. When He stretches out His hand to heal you, when He stretches out His hand to deliver you, there's a reward, and that reward is the part of overcoming. It's like your children, when they start to walk and when they just stand up for the first time, it's like that parent, all the parents can identify with this then. So what happens is you like go bananas. Whoa! You know? It's like the first child that has ever walked on the face of the earth. You take all the videos, you know, I bless all the parents here, but you know, you see all you see on YouTube with people with kids is just like the smile like this. And then a smile like this. And then a kid that, you know. But the parents are so proud because it means something to them. He's overcome. He started just to walk one little step. And I want to challenge us this morning because there's some of us here that need to come back to our first love. You've lost the passion in your heart for God. You are so distracted. You're really trying hard. You're really trying it, but all God wants is this morning just for you to say, God, unite my heart. I want to fear your name. I want to please you. Lord, the world and the stuff of this world has been so distracting me, God, and all this stuff. I just want to come to you and give you thanks. I want to worship you. You're not expecting a lot of things of me. You're just expecting me to come and surrender. Because once at a time, you were very passionate for God. There's a guy here 13 years ago, God gave you a very specific dream of what you would go and do. And from there, all hell broke loose. It was 12 or 13 years ago. And since then, you have just backed off, you've stepped down, you've said no. Where's that person? I want to pray for you this morning. Quickly. If you're honest and you're open, then God is going to heal you. He's going to restore you this morning. Because he wants to give you that reward. There's also a lady here that has gone through lots of relational breakdown. A very intense relational breakdown. And the Lord wants to heal you today. Where are you? I want to pray for those two people specifically. Is that you? Thank you. Where's the man? You're a bit older. And there's a war going on in your soul right now. But today is your day of salvation. Where's that man? Quickly, just show me. Where are you? The man that had a dream in his heart that God placed there. And that God wants to renew that dream. I want you to be very honest. I'm waiting for you. I know there's a massive war going on in your life. But the Lord says today is your day of salvation. Don't come afterwards. Now is the time. Because God doesn't shame us, but he puts us on the pedestal. Is that you? I want you to come. I want to meet you in front here because we're going to pray for you specifically. Do you know God does stuff that is just amazing? When he places a dream there, it's he that promises. It's him that fulfills. It's him that fulfills. Let me give you a hug. God is going to renew. God is going to strengthen again. Father, we just come against all the lies that has tried to just keep him from you, Father. Thank you that there's a reward. And Lord, you are that reward this morning. Thank you, Father, all the cycles, Lord, of just breakdown, Lord. Today we say it's a new day. Today we say, Father, there's a reward, God. Today you put a medal around his neck. And Father, Lord, you show him the finished work of Christ. Father, thank you, Father, for renewed strength. Thank you, Lord, that you're going to take it like you promised years ago, Lord. You're going to take it to many nations. Lord, she's going to be a spokesperson to nations, Father. And she's taken a detour, but we want to thank you, Father. We welcome her back, Lord, in the place of your life. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Father, that you never condemn. But Lord, you've always been so proud of her, Father. Thank you, Father, for your heart towards these people, God. And we thank you for that release. We just break every slavery, God. There's a mentality and a bondage of slavery, God. And we break that, Lord. It's a demonic assignment that has come to take his life, Lord, at least two times. But we break that in Jesus' name. We release the fullness of God. We say no more lies, no more accusations, no more. The spirit of death, we come against you. And the fear with it that has been crippling him, we break that authority over his life right now in Jesus' name. And we say, loose him. And we thank you, Lord, for that complete release today into the fullness of God. We thank you, Father, that he will not, Lord, submit to the fear of failure anymore. Lord, where even his dad said to him, Lord, he's not going to make it, Lord. He's going to fail, God. He's just worthless, Father, in so many ways. We cancel each one of those words and we break, Lord, and we release over him the ability, Lord, to follow Jesus, Lord. And thank you, Lord, today that you laugh at your enemies. You laugh at those accusations in his life, Father, and you set him free, Father. Because you're so pleased, God. You're so pleased. Hallelujah. If you have lost your first love with God, or maybe you've not made a commitment to God, this is the first step of discipline and consecrating yourself. I want you to step out quickly and come and stand in front because we're going to pray for you. If you've lost that passion in your heart and you are so distracted at the moment with lots of stuff, even circumstances, all those things, I'm going to ask you to do something very bold. I'm going to ask you to come and stand right in front. Because today we're going to consecrate you. Today we're going to say, Father, we want to start to walk first in an accountability with you. Now, lots of people are looking around. They think, oh, who's coming to the front? But maybe God is speaking to you. Maybe he's speaking to me. Now is the time. Come quickly before you're going to worship God. If God is speaking to you, there's some people here that have got cycles of just running away and doing all that other stuff. Or maybe today you're just very critical. And the Lord is saying to you, come back. I want to release my fullness over your life. Then won't you come quickly? We're going to just wait for a couple of people because I know there's some people that need to come. And then we're going to pray. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that you are here today. Thank you, Father. You are a reward. Thank you, God. Today, Lord, as we stand before you, unite our hearts so that we can fear your name. Unite our hearts, Lord, so that we can follow you. Thank you. It's only your grace. It's only your, Lord. Today, we don't want to look to the rules and the regulations, but we want to look to the reward, God. And you're that reward. We thank you for a freedom, God. I declare, Lord, especially people, Lord, that struggle to worship you, that today they're going to be set free. Today, Lord, they're not going to be in spiritual straitjackets anymore. But today, you are breaking, Lord, every yoke of slavery. There's some people here, the Lord just showed me that you struggle to worship him. You really want to worship him. You can't even lift your hands. But it's not about lifting the hands. It's just about that veil, that ability to worship him, that ability to come in freedom and to say to him, yes, God, I want to start to say no to certain stuff and say yes to the right stuff. If God is speaking to you, I want you to come quickly, quickly, quickly. Especially people who have lost their first love. Father, we just thank you. We just thank you for your freedom. We thank you for your freedom. We thank you, Lord, for the abilities to know Christ. Thank you for your deliverance. There's some people here today that are, you are really struggling with addictions in your life. There are very specific cycles in your life that you know is not pleasing God. It's just keeping you away from God. You know what that is, what sin means? Sin means is to miss the mark, to miss the bullseye. Sin isn't the bad stuff that we do. God is not sin conscious. The only reason why God addresses sin in our lives is simply because we miss his purpose. We miss the bullseye. We miss the reward. We're always the people at the right place, the wrong time, the right place. So if you feel that there's cycles in your life of always missing the God opportunities, I want you to come and stand here on my left-hand side. There's always like you're trying so hard, but you're not connecting. It's just every time you're missing it. There's some people, we need to break those cycles over your life. I want you to come and stand. Just come quickly out. Come and stand on this side because we're going to pray that you're going to start to get it right. It's not about sin and what you do right and what you're wrong, but God is speaking to you today because those cycles, you always miss it, and then comes this massive discouragement in your life, this massive inability to connect to God because you just have to pick yourself up every time, and it's a cycle in your life. Some of you see it only now for the first time. I want you to come out quickly, and not just, they're just young people standing in front. Come on, old people, we're the ones that need prayer, and I want to challenge you on that. If God is speaking to you, I want you to come out quickly because we're going to pray. We're going to just break cycles. And we're going to trust God for a deliverance of evil, of any stuff, any cycle in our lives that keeps us from God. Hallelujah. Father, we just thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. Thank you for your deliverance. Thank you for your freedom today. Just take a moment and let's start to worship God as we're waiting for people to respond. Because some people, it's a massive battle. But we're not going to let you go because this is a God moment for you. This is a moment where you need to say yes to God and no to your own feelings, your own emotions, and step out and say, yes, God. I'm not going to become a feeling and emotional Christian anymore. I'm going to become a follower of Christ. Father, thank you for that freedom. Thank you, Lord, that you're setting us free today. Thank you that you're setting us free, God. And you're giving us, Lord, as we're consecrating our lives to you. We thank you for that freedom today. We thank you, God. We just worship you, Lord. We just say, thank you, God. Thank you for a life. Thank you for our first love, that you're our number one. We're going to just sing the chorus of the worship song. And if you need prayer, there's some people that need healing here today. There's a man who's got back problems here at the bottom of your back, and you've been to the doctor, and the Lord wants to heal you this morning. Where are you? Just show me quickly. You're standing on this side somewhere. Was daai man wat gebed nodig het vir jou rug? Kom gou vinnig. Just show me. Ek is 'n bietjie short, so ek kan nie so lekker sien. Hallo. If you need prayer, for healing. Won't you come out? Because God still heals. There's some people, there's also somebody that's struggling with, what is it, rheumatic arthritis. You've got arthritis in your wrists and in your body. Lots of pain, especially when it gets so cold, and we want to pray for you. Won't you come out quickly? Because we want to pray. There are too many spectators around, okay? So we're not spectators here this morning. We're just breaking, and there's especially anointing for deliverance today. If you want to be set free from fears and cycles, and especially if you're afraid that you're going to miss the will of God, if there's this fear of failure thing in your life, this fear of rejection thing in your life, I want you to come and stand right here on my right-hand side, because we're going to break that, because God does not look at you as a failure. He wants to release you into the fullness of God. You are going to finish the race because He says so. Not because we say so or because we become more committed. It's simply because we're focused on the reward. It's Him. So if you have got a cycle of fear of failure in your life, why don't you come right to the side, because we're gonna pray.
Yeah, I just feel that there's some people here, some of us, we just feel like almost like a dormant volcano. And when a volcano erupts, like, that mountain is never the same again, and the surroundings are never the same again. And I just feel that the key is that we need to delight ourselves in the Lord again. And we've just lost, some of us have just lost that the ability to just delight in the Lord. And yeah, I just want to pray for those people. I don't know if I'm going forward or anything. Your Father God, I just thank you, Lord, that, our Father, that when we delight ourselves in you, you give us the desires of our heart, Father God. And your Father, thank you, Lord, that you're not dependent on us, Lord God, but on your Spirit that's in us, Father God, that you've placed your nature in us, Father God, and we can just yield to your Spirit, Father God. We can just yield to your ways, Father. And thank you, Lord God, that just for every dormant volcano right now, Father God, to just erupt, Father God, as we just commit to you again, Father God, as we just seek your face again, Father God, and diligently seek you and delighting in you, Father God, because you have great plans and great rewards, Father God. And I just pray, Father God, for those volcanoes to be released now, Lord God, in Jesus' name, Father God. Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, we just respond to you right now. I want everybody just to close their eyes. We've not finished with the service yet. I know some of you want to go home now, but we're going to take these moments to consecrate ourselves to God, because there's just a place of in your heart focusing. And we're going to pray this prayer a couple of times, okay? We're going to pray, say, Lord, unite my heart so that I can fear your name. I want you to pray it over and over. Lord, unite my heart so that I can fear your name, that I can serve you, Lord. Lord, just supernaturally, there's some distractions. I'm busy. I'm so many stuff, Lord, that keeps me from that wells of the water, to drink of that living waters. Today, I ask that you unite my heart. Unite my heart unto you. Holy Spirit, help me and stir the passion in my heart for you again, God. Thank you, God. Thank you for your reward. Thank you, Lord, for partaking. Thank you for a crown that you've prepared for me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that I can eat of that crop, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that I can please you, Father.